Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint that cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 155, Personas. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated customer service representative, Brandon Manthe.
Personas, fictional profiles of your customers to assist in marketing segmentation. Walking a mile in someone else's shoes. Cliche? Yes. Uncomfortable? Yes. Someone else's shoes never feel quite right. But let's get a little uncomfortable to better understand your customers and why they buy. Walking a mile in your customer's shoes can help you uncover what motivates them. After all, how well do you really know your customers and your users? If you walked a mile in their shoes, what would you find? Would you discover that you actually know a lot about who uses your services or buys from you? Or would your findings be surprising? Enter personas. Personas are visual, fictional stories that describe actual customers. Using customer personas helps build a strong understanding of who your customers are, what drives them to buy from you, and what problems you can help them solve. Personas can guide you to more targeted and customer-centric business and marketing approaches. They can also help you to, number one, shift an organization's perspective to the customers. Number two, provide insight into customers' and users' decision-making priorities. And number three, offer greater detail in the different messages audience segments respond to. Never heard of personas? You might be surprised that personas have been right in front of you for years. Case in point, Jared the Subway guy. 16 years ago, Subway learned of Jared's success, losing 245 pounds by swapping fast food lunches for Subway meals. Jared was an exact match with one of the company's target segments, working professionals, short on time, that wanted to lose weight and eat healthy. Subway struck gold when they turned a real customer, aligned with a key persona, into the franchise spokesperson. Sales tripled after Jared's oversized pants became famous, growing from $3.1 billion in 1998, the year before Jared was introduced, to $11.5 billion in 2011. Personas are not new, but their popularity is exploding due in part to their multiple uses. While companies don't often publish their persona work because of its highly valuable, strategic, and competitive nature, a 2011 survey found that 65% of usability professionals said they were using personas in their user-centered design work. Adoption of buyer personas has been much slower, however. A 2014 study found that 44% of business-to-business or B2B marketers are currently using personas. That said, persona adoption is forecasted to rise in the coming years. In fact, 29% of respondents to a 2014 study said they expect to be using personas in the next 12 months. Personas support market research and work as a piece of overall marketing strategy. Putting a personality behind your data makes it come alive and aids in marketing segmentation applications. By giving life to business data, personas become useful across the organization. They generate return on investment, or ROI, by acting as a focal point for marketing, sales, and operational activities, and they keep your company focused on your primary target audience, your customers. Personas also provide assistance in objective planning. Using personas provides critical audience insights needed to construct targeted marketing messages. They give your team insight into how buying really takes place, which enables you to detail buyer needs and deliver tailored messaging throughout the buying cycle. And they create a uniform messaging development platform for your entire team. As you listen to this podcast, we will explore how personas can help you identify and connect with customers in an effort to be more targeted and personalized in your marketing approach. We'll reference a fictional persona, Chelsea, to help illustrate the building and usage of personas, while also providing you with a step-by-step guide to creating and implementing them within your organization. So lace up your shoes, we're ready to discuss the ins and outs of personas. Personas help you get into your customer's shoes to gain more insight on their perspectives about your company. And like any shoes, those shoes come in a variety of categories that have similarities: gym shoes, heels, hiking boots, and more. Your customers and potential customers naturally fall into groups as well, based on commonalities they share. In other words, through market segmentation. Investopedia explains the basic traits used to identify segments. Number one, homogeneity. In other words, customers are users with common needs. Number two, distinction. This describes common characteristics that make groups unique from each other. And number three, reaction. Groups, those that have similar response to the overall market. Since we're talking shoes, let's look at a fictional athletic shoe company, Greater Gear Shoe Company, to better demonstrate these traits. Greater Gear has multiple market segments that include basketball players, runners, both sprinters and long distance, gym rats, baseball players, and even yogis. These groups have their own needs for footwear. In other words, we're describing homogeneity. No two groups are the same due to their unique needs. In other words, we're talking about distinction. Basketball players will have a different response to the footwear market than yogis, and the sprinters will have a different reaction than the long-distance runners. This piece illustrates reaction. Personas are an extension of market segmentation, and while they have a sole connection, the two concepts are not the same. Market segmentation is a method for breaking down your large target markets into like-minded groups. Personas bring those pre-established groups to life by giving each group a potential representative personality. Market segmentation does not actually tell you what is driving your customers, but adding personality, behaviors, goals, and motivations to the data cam. Personas are always one of two types, user or buyer. Both forms of personas have separate but parallel histories. A buyer persona uses both market research and real data about existing and potential customers to create detailed descriptions or profiles of targeted customers. Angus Jenkinson developed buyer personas in 1993 with the goal of going beyond typical market segmentation to grasp the essential characteristics and needs of buyer groups. His work created the concept that customer segments can be seen as communities with a group identity. Customer engagement agency Ogilvy One International adopted this concept for use with clients as day-in-the-life archetype descriptions. Jenkinson and researcher Michael Jacobs teamed up to write a series of papers on persona development methods for the Ogilvy One online knowledge base. Jenkinson and Jacobs' research was then used in over 40 countries to build customer service and client loyalty. During the same time period, Alan Cooper, a software development pioneer, was developing the user persona concept. Starting in 1995, Cooper began exploring how specific users interact with software. Cooper's goal was to increase the usability of computer programs and websites. Where buyer personas focus on buyer behaviors and motivations, user personas strive to paint a picture of user goals, tasks, and skill level. Personas soon received some major media attention in an unlikely way. Enter the 1995 Denver City Council elections and 1996 presidential elections. In 1995, City Council candidate Susan B. Casey introduced the world to the soccer mom persona when she branded herself as a soccer mom for City Council. She realized that this every neighbor persona represented a large number of voters in her district. After Susan's win using the soccer mom slogan, the marketing teams behind Bob Dole and President Clinton's presidential campaigns realized their candidates needed to appeal to this group of voters on a national level. This group of voters was personified as suburban, middle-class, working mothers, and even more importantly, they were swing voters. You could find these moms driving their kids to sports practices and club meetings, pacing the sidelines at every game and dedicated to family well-being. But between work and family commitments, these women were short on time. This group of voters became so important to the election's outcome that Bob Dole even spoke directly to the soccer moms while concluding his address at the Republican National Convention. Despite his personal attempt at connecting, President Clinton was the one to gain favor among the soccer moms and won the election. As time passed, more marketers and web developers jumped on the persona bandwagon when they saw the benefits of using personas, both buyer and user, to increase customer centricity and positive customer experiences, both in on- and offline activities. Today, both B2B and business-to-consumer, or B2C, companies are making use of personas in a variety of capacities rooted in customer centricity and operational efficiency. Buyer personas can be helpful for marketers because they help align decisions, messages, and programs, and therefore dollars, with what real customers actually want instead of just what we think they might want. In other words, we're really starting to understand what it's like to walk in your customer's shoes. Are you ready to hit the trail? Next, we'll tackle the do's and don'ts for persona development with this helpful 8-step guide to perfect personas. What makes the perfect persona? And what information should your personas include? How specific should your characters be? And can they be general personalities that represent your market segments, or do they need to spell out everything from what kind of toothpaste they use to how they take their eggs? You probably have a lot of questions about building and implementing personas. Have no fear. We'll walk you through each of the following 8 steps of persona building basics in detail. They are: Step 1, getting started. Step 2, brainstorming. Step 3, research and interviews. Step 4, persona identification and prioritization. Step 5, writing personas. Step 6, discussion and finalization. Step 7, putting personas to work. And step 8, persona measurement and refinement. Before we get started explaining these in detail, let's introduce the sample persona for the Greater Gear shoe company we referenced earlier. Meet Chelsea, a 25-year-old physically fit female who enjoys running and group fitness activities. She is part of Greater Gear's target audience. Chelsea will be with us as we work through each step in the persona building process. We'll use Chelsea and her persona characteristics to help illustrate key points throughout the process. Let's get started with step 1, appropriately called getting started. Your first step involves looking at the current market segmentation your company is using. If you're not currently using any, some basic segmentation will be essential to build accurate personas. Use these segmentation tips to get started. For B2B companies, consider segmenting your target audience by: Number 1, what they do. Think industry sector, public versus private, size, and so on. Number 2, how they operate. In other words, how do they use your product and what technology do they have available? Number 3, buying patterns. What size orders do they place and how often? And number 4, behavior. Think loyalty and attitude toward risk. For B2C companies, think about grouping audiences by: Number 1, location. Number 2, buyer profile, in other words, demographic information. Number 3, lifestyles. And number 4, buyer behavior. Greater Gear Shoe Company relies heavily on B2C segmentation factors, and all of these elements are reflected in Chelsea's persona, which tells us that Chelsea is an urban-dwelling 20-something with a passion for local road races, who is an avid social media user and online shopping enthusiast. With market segmentation in place, either basic or extensive, you can now examine your existing segments. Ask yourself the following questions. Are the current segments growing? Are the segments areas you can compete on? Is the segmented group large enough to have activities and messages tailored to it? Will it be profitable to target this group? Are you answering yes to these questions? If so, start your persona development here to ensure you have personas that reflect each of your core segments. Step 2, brainstorming is next. It's time to generate personality characteristics for each of your data segments. Conduct this brainstorm by inviting both customers and employees from across the company to help think of traits and personality adjectives that represent your customers and stakeholders. Then lay them out in a grid format. You'll want to list the brainstorm traits in a 2x2 grid. Information processing style will be on the horizontal axis, and decision-making style will be on the vertical axis. The grid will move horizontally from emotional to logical, and then vertically from quick to decide to deliberate decision-making. After completing your grid, review where the clusters of traits lie. You can then group these characteristics by placing colored shapes or bubbles over the traits that seem like they could or would be the same persona. One bubble from Greater Gear Shoe Company's personality adjectives map may loosely outline a personality that could correspond with Chelsea's persona segment. This bubble might include characteristics like caring, dedicated, confident, goal-oriented, and committed. These traits align with Chelsea's caring personality, her dedication, and her confidence in her career. We can tell this bubble reflects the goals and follow-through for Chelsea's work ambition. We also get a sense of this commitment that carries through to her active lifestyle. While Chelsea's personality and buyer segment are reflected in this bubble, any additional bubbles on the map should be used to connect with Greater Gear's other audience segments. Your completed grid, or personality adjectives map, should have 3 to 7 colored circles, each of which should surround the traits that would all belong to one persona. But that's only the beginning. You'll need to conduct additional research to help crystallize and support your personality adjectives map findings. Start by utilizing the customer data you have available. Helpful records may include general customer contact information, demographics, psychographics, and/or transactional data. This information will help either support or disprove general assumptions you made about your customers during brainstorming. Are you finding that you're short on customer research and in need of answers to additional questions about your customers before you start the interview process? Supplement the data you have with data sourcing tools such as Google Consumer Surveys, Quora, or Feedback Army. These tools provide a range of cost-effective options for accessing customer feedback. Before leaving this step, compile all of your data to help identify the potential personalities from the personalities map that match key segments in your customer data. This information will help inform your interviews and the following persona development steps. We're now ready for step 3, interviews. The research you compiled in step 2 will help identify potential personalities that match key segments in your customer data, making the interview stage much easier. During interview selection, find buyers who match your key segments and mapped character traits, but also some who don't, to ensure your personas are reflective of your buyers. With Greater Gear Shoe Company in mind, let's plan to interview their customers. We'll want to keep the following tips in mind. First, we need to interview actual, recent buyers. Have the buyers walk through their decisions and purchasing process. Did they buy from Greater Gear online or shop at the physical location? Did they use the Greater Gear website to research the product before going to the store to finalize fit and style? Map out their purchasing process. Then, interview a variety of people who purchase different Greater Gear products to provide the best and most accurate perspective. And finally, make sure to ask why they chose to buy from your company. You'll also want to prep for your interviews by formulating a list of questions for the customers you're interviewing. The focus of your interviews will vary based on your company's needs and type of personas you are writing, but here's a list of potential interview questions to consider for both buyer and user personas. Number 1, demographic information such as age, address, marital status, and number of children. Number 2, details about their professional career. For instance, what job do they have? Where do they work and how long have they been there? And what are their professional goals? Number 3, what does their typical day look like? For example, how far from home do they work? What media do they consume throughout the day? What does their workday look like? What community organizations are they involved in? What people matter most to them? How do they prefer to spend their time? And what do they do for fun? Number 4, what process do your target customers use to explore and select product, service, or solution? Number 5, what are their pain points experienced in using your product or service? If you have a customer journey map, pull it out during this step. Number 6, what are 3 to 5 problems the target customer may dedicate time, budget, or political capital to? Number 7, are there tangible or intangible metrics or rewards that the customer associates with success? Examples may include to grow revenue by a certain percentage or a discount or other promotion. And number 8, uncover unseen factors like competing interests, politics, both internal or governmental, or history with your company by asking about perceived barriers. For user persona information, consider number 1, demographic information such as age, address, marital status, and number of children. Number 2, computer and internet skills. Number 3, preferred internet browser. Number 4, goals for completing processes relevant to your website or design project. Number 5, perceived barriers to successful use of projects similar to yours. Number 6, what are their pain points in using your product, service, or website? And number 7, what factors determine the user's perceived success when using your website, product, or service design? Now that you're all prepared for your interviews, you're ready to move on to step 4, persona identification and prioritization. You'll want to sort through the customer research and personality adjectives map to identify and prioritize potential personas. Try to prioritize between 3 to 7 personas per business line. Too many personas can be confusing. However, we also caution you from trying to roll traits into an average user, as doing so will not be effective. Brian Eisenberg, digital marketing and personas guru, offers up some helpful advice for determining the number of personas needed. He said, ultimately, the number of personas should reflect the number of primary motivations to purchase your product or service that exist within your customer base. Sometimes, personas have identical motivations but dramatically different needs. For example, within Greater Gear Company's running shoe product line, there are mothers looking for shoes for their student athletes, there are recreational runners like Chelsea, as well as competitive sprinters. All of these buyers are shopping the same family of products, but they have dramatically different goals and motivations. These differing goals often alter their paths to purchase, indicating that each audience could potentially be a unique persona. With prioritized persona characteristics in hand, let's get focused and start writing. Which brings us to step 5, write your personas. Your personas really need to connect with the actual customers you want to target. You are creating fictional characters that directly mirror your real-life customers. This step is where all of your marketing data, the personality adjectives map, and customer interviews really become one. You will use all of this data to develop the fictional representation of persona characteristics identified and prioritized in the previous step. The goal? Write personas that detail real customers' needs, wants, and pain points. You can avoid stepping into the wrong shoes with some do's and don'ts for persona writing. Dodge the urge to stereotype your personas. In other words, stay away from the techie geek, urban hipster, typical teenage girl, and so on. When we stereotype our personas, they become difficult to engage with. Rather, make sure to develop a dynamic, true-to-life character instead of a flat stereotype. To avoid creating flat stereotypes, use the character diamond, a tool used to give your personas defining characteristics that anchor their personalities and add dimension. The character diamond simply gives depth to your character when you give him or her 3 to 5 defining traits or points on the diamond. These defining character traits work to give your personas a real personality, the spark that brings personas to life. Let's talk about Chelsea's persona profile. Customer data is used to build Chelsea's personality, while segmented customer data is matched with traits from the personality adjectives map to create a personality that matches one segment of Greater Gear Shoes customers. Demographic customer data is then used to fill in her most basic information, like her location and income. But Chelsea is not just demographic customer data that embodies the stereotypical young, physically fit female. Instead, she has a story. And that is what makes her a persona. The 3 following characteristics can make up Chelsea's character diamond. As an extrovert, Chelsea enjoys her membership with a local running club. She stays goal-oriented by participating in local road races, and as a tech-savvy event planner, she is now tracking all of her workouts with a mobile application. From those detailed traits, demographic data, and information from the customer interviews, we are able to build out Chelsea's persona profile. Her profile includes shopping habits, personal goals, workday, and value characteristics. Does the persona writing process seem daunting? You're in luck. There are tools to aid the writing process. We like the following free resources. Up Close and Persona is a persona creation template that helps get you started and streamline the process. Usability.com also features a similar tool. and StoryboardThat.com offers useful tools to help you create storyboards of the persona characters you create. Persona drafts at the ready. You feel ready to sprint to the end of the trail, but not so fast. Like any marketing process, personas cannot be complete without team and leadership review, discussion, and finalization. Which brings us to step 6, discuss and finalize. Get your key stakeholders together to review all personas and be prepared to address concerns about implementing this new tool. You may find that some teammates are concerned that focusing too much on a particular user will limit the uses of a new product or tool. Other teammates may be concerned that adding personas just increases the amount of paperwork they deal with. Help your teammates by explaining personas' power to unite the team's vision of the customer by providing a realistic yet fictional buyer. Assure those teammates worried about new processes and paperwork that personas are designed to improve efficiencies by helping team members think through the user and buyer's perspective with greater agility. After your team, leadership, and other stakeholders have given their stamp of approval, print and distribute. It might also be helpful to feature the personas in places your team will see them often. Remember to add finalized personas to your ongoing content audit. Step 7, putting personas to work. Make sure your persona work doesn't end before it starts. Creating personas and then shoving them in a file folder essentially ends any organizational impact personas can make. Avoid that fate with step 7, putting personas to work. Here are some tips to help make personas work for you. First, make the most of your personas by fully integrating them into your processes. If you're using buyer lists, segment those lists by persona to help you develop more personalized experiences for current and potential buyers. Next, it is a good idea to reallocate your ad spend with your personas in mind. You now know where your personas spend their time on and offline. Use this knowledge to better target your ad spend. Personas can also be used to reallocate people resources. Make sure you are hanging out where your target audience is located. If they are all on Twitter, then have someone there monitor questions. If it's Google Plus they frequent, you'll want someone there to watch the conversation and chime in when it's relevant for your company to do so. Participate in conversations with your audience members both where they are and in the language they use. In other words, be relevant, but not creepy. After integrating personas with your buyer lists and shifting resources based on personas, audit existing content for persona alignment. Double-check to make sure content aligns with the newly created personas. If not, tweak existing content to be a better fit. Content strategy aligned with personas can have big payoffs. If not aligned, your personas are not going to drive the traffic you need. We can all learn a thing or two about success with personas from SkyTap, a provider of self-service cloud automation solutions. They triumphed by aligning their personas with their content strategy to drive sales after launching content marketing that included a personas focus in May 2012. By January 2013, they saw the following results when they compared with previous year: a 55% increase in organic search traffic, a 210% increase in North American site traffic, and a 97% increase in leads from online marketing. So how does SkyTap incorporate one of their three personas into each and every piece of content? Website case studies and testimonials all feature one of the personas, and their blog can be sorted by virtual training, development and testing, and product development. Those three categories mirror the roles occupied by personas. Blog posts and website copy also speak to those same specific roles. Nate O'Dell, SkyTap's marketing director, shared their constant persona focus with Marketing Sherpa. He said, "Instead of just saying, let's go understand everybody, we need to be very methodical and say, let's understand the particular use cases and the individuals we typically see and really understand what they're looking for. Take the SkyTap approach, and if you have content that just doesn't work with the new personas and isn't generating traffic and leads, get rid of it. Ensure continuous persona focus by integrating personas into every step of the content development process. And merge your personas with customers' life cycle stages to help generate new content ideas that match where your customers are in the buying cycle. You are now talking to the right customers at the right time. Another SkyTap lesson? Tailor your website to meet persona needs. No need to have a generic website when you have personas. Use dynamic content and display different messages to users based on the persona assigned to them. And last but not least, remember that personas can be helpful in discovering data trends. Using personas, Orbitz discovered that buyers who fit the Mac user's persona spent 30% more per night on hotel rooms. This data let Orbitz serve up more customized user experience. Merging personas and data to deliver customized customer experiences, that's a win for you and your customers. You're in the final stretch. Time for step 8, persona measurement and refinement. On the trail, we measure distance covered. And if we get off course, we take a peek at the trail map and adjust. The same is true with personas. We measure their effectiveness and then refine personas over time to always accurately depict the target segments. What's the best way to measure persona impact? That depends on how you're using each persona. User personas that aid product designers can be measured with in-person product tests. When user personas are developed for web design, their effectiveness can be measured with both user testing and Google Analytics funnels. Let's discuss both in more detail. In web user testing, an anonymous user is recruited to complete tasks provided by a moderator. The user is asked to verbalize their thought process as they complete their tasks, and their voice and screen are recorded for results analysis. Interested in user testing? Check out our podcast and blue paper on A-B testing and take a look at the online resource usertesting.com. Google Analytics funnels are artificial goals set up to determine if website users are able to complete desired tasks. For example, if you developed a user persona aimed at lead generation, you might set up a funnel to track how many actual users filled out the contact form after visiting the same pages your persona would visit. Buyer personas used in content marketing can be evaluated based on website traffic, lead generation, and other typical content marketing analytics. We suggest listening to the content marketing podcast and taking a look at the blue paper for more on appropriate analytics. A note of caution, if you don't see results right away by adding personas, don't toss them to the wind just yet. Double check to make sure your persona usage is authentic to the actual persona. Also, remember that the best user persona is not always the same as the best buyer persona and vice versa. If your personas are not driving the results you want, double check to make sure you didn't make this error. And personas do evolve over time. Think back to the soccer moms. This persona played a huge role in the 1996 election and the 2000 election as well. But after the attacks on September 11, 2001, the persona shifted to security mom, as women became more concerned about national security and the overall safety of their families than ever before. And don't let your personas get outdated either. It can be helpful to check in with a representative from each persona group every quarter. Just give them a quick phone call to find out what they need now. Ask the same questions from your original interview and then note any shifts in response. The same concept can be applied to social media and other listening posts. Stay tuned in to changes in sentiment about your organization. Use these updates to help keep your personas updated and relevant. You've navigated the trail, and you've learned a few things along the path. You are now equipped to begin your own persona building process. Let's recap key trail takeaways. First, we laced up our shoes and explored some persona basics. Then we moved down the trail and through the entire persona building process. When creating your own personas, remember to use customer data, the personality adjectives map, and character diamond to create personas that really feel like your actual customers. Make sure to continuously use completed personas to connect with your audience. And don't forget to measure your efforts, refine your personas, and keep hiking to greater marketing success.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on personas. Keep on the lookout for our next podcast, Digital Asset Management. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at foreignprint.com/bluepapers.